Encountering Malcolm X by Vayu Naidu. 1969. On that first September morning of the fall semester, my class tutor and head of English was a Miss Jackson. She had a way of taking in the entire class in one sweep of her eyes. She opened the books cupboard beside the paint-cracked cranky radiators. With her back to the class and us seated in rows of single state provision school desks etched with hearts and expletives, she was crouching, gathering books from the cupboard shelves. Then standing up, she turned around. I was admiring her smart black-rimmed spectacles, new fall dress suit, and straightened hair. She went down the first three rows of desks and triumphantly placed the books back cover up. Our class of 30 was a mix of Spanish speakers, black and white Americans, one English and one Indian student. It was co-educational, compelling and chaotic. I was staring at the book on my desk. It was the first day in school and I was new to everything except the news of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. and the successful Apollo 11 landing on the moon. The seniors were putting on Hair, the musical, in the auditorium, and the posters were swishing in my mind with psychedelic streams of hair. "Wait till I'm done." With speed on her heels, Miss Jackson was at the front of the class. She held the book up, back to front. There were nervous laughs and chatter. She smiled wide and did the reveal, and we followed obediently. The big red X across the black and white photograph of a bespectacled black man staring straight back at me gave me a wave of terror, of not knowing why this autobiography was so significant. I had just about managed to be awakened to life through literature by struggling through, and strangely for that age, enjoying Of Human Bondage by W. Somerset Maugham. Miss Jackson spoke with an educator's passion. Black people get murdered, assassinated, and their stories go missing. Here's a story many of us live and don't dare to find out how to speak. Our eyes were on her, and she read us. "You're asking why English? Read the writing, know the man, find America." I had never heard so much passion in a classroom before and flicked to a page headed Saved and read The Voice of Malcolm X, describing a scene in Charleston prison where a Harvard seminary student teaching the Bible to black and white inmates was talking about the Apostle Paul. Malcolm X writes, "I stood up and asked, what color was Paul? He was a Hebrew. And the original Hebrews were black? What color was Jesus? He was Hebrew, wasn't he?" Both the Negro and the white convicts had sat bolt upright. I could feel the nodding. It had a seismic effect. In India, I had been taught by jolly Irish nuns, and all the images of Jesus, Mary, the apostles were Caucasian. Malcolm X's voice shot through my adolescent mind. It was a turning point about learning not to accept hearsay. It was a mind shift to return to the roots of anything and inquire and see how dangerous appropriation is. Woodrow Wilson School, as it was known then, had been picked to be a flag bearer of change. Its first black principal in 1969, Vincent Reed, brought that change to reality. Strategy and mobilizing led young minds through a radical shift in institutional education. U.S. immersion in the Vietnam War was well underway and the draft was statutory. The principal had moved in a staff of bright, old, and young black American educators in history, politics, art, English, math, sports, all my subjects. I began to see a U.S. that Life or Time magazine or the Washington Post would never tell adolescents like me about race, culture, music, politics, teenage pregnancies, and that distant war coming closer into the kitchen. It was as history students of Edna Burke Jackson that we entered the psyche of what made America and learned the different shades of equality. Reading and living the change Malcolm X had brought about after his murder is the encounter that has stayed. It has shaped my thinking of the personal as political, in the arts and in storytelling, as a means to archive migration and voices of the diaspora in Britain. As Gary Young says, the autobiography of Malcolm X represents the attitude not just of a man, but of an era. He sought to seize the moment to broaden both the understanding and the appeal of America's Black struggles by locating them in the context of human rights and internationalism. In Malcolm's quotes, "How is the Black man going to get civil rights before first he wins his human rights?" Malcolm Little's life from Lansing, Michigan, to Harlem and Mecca, becoming the Malcolm X of history, is of a geological scale, not unlike that of the Trishul and Nanda Devi of the Himalayas. A violent eruption of the earth threw these mountains up, and they have compelled humans to rise to their summit. Waves of racial and cultural encounters are the infinite spirit's grasp for freedom, not escape. That spirit and freedom to think that Malcolm X brought into my life through his story is indelible.